All right, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just want to start by thanking you for another day of your tender mercy and grace, Lord. Lord, thank you for bringing us through this week, Lord. And we ask that tonight, all the burdens, all the cares, the worries of this week, just wash away, Lord. And Lord, we seek your face tonight, Jesus. We want to be in the presence of you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for our sister Kim, who is still in the hospital, Lord, and she'll be home with us next week, Lord, but man, her spirit is strong, Lord, and thank you for her contribution here tonight, Lord, with this PowerPoint, Lord. It was an honor to work with her. She did the PowerPoint, and the Holy Spirit led me to do the scripture for this, Lord, so just thank you for her. You're an awesome God, Lord, and Lord, the sisters that can't be here with us tonight, Lord, we just ask that you just speak peace to their hearts, Lord, and speak love to them, Lord. Take care of them and protect them, Lord. And like we ask, Lord, you are requested. Your presence is requested here tonight amongst us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, as I said, Kim put together the PowerPoint. She sent it to me, and I put the scripture with it. But the promised land. This is first slide. God always keeps his promises. The promise was made to Abraham, then confirmed to his son Isaac, and then to Isaac's son Jacob, Abraham's grandson. The promised land was described in terms of the territory from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates River. You can go on to the next. Okay, kings defeated. To begin, Joshua 12 gives us a list of the kings that were defeated and the territory that the Israelites took over. The number of kings who were conquered totaled to be 31 altogether. The scripture lists each one individually. So I have the name of these kings. Okay, so I'm going to say the names I can, and then I'll just say king because I don't want to butcher anybody's names here tonight. They're quite interesting ones. Okay. These are the ones that were defeated under Moses and then Joshua. The king of Jericho, the king of Ai, which is besides Bethel, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, the king of Gezer, the king of Debar, the king of Jeter, the king of Hormad, the king of Arad, the king of Libnon, the king of Adullam, the king of Machaday, the king of Bethel, the king of Tapu, the king of Heber, the king of Ahek, the king of Lashron, the king of Madon, the king of Hazar, the king of the king, the king of the king, the king of Tanakh, the king of the king, the king of Kadesh, the king of Jokium, the king of Carmel, the king of the king of Golem in Galilee, the king of Tizar. In all, there were 31 kings. Okay, we can go on to the next slide, please. They got mixed up. That's okay. We'll go with it. Okay. In Joshua 13, so what I'm going to be doing, just so you guys have an idea, Kim put together the PowerPoint, and what I do, we're just going to go through each chapter and do a summary, okay, of them, just a description. In Joshua 13, now Joshua was old. The king said, divide the remaining land among the tribes. Moses had given land to Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. Even while acknowledging Joshua's advanced years, God still tells him about a job that needs to be done. No matter how much we have done, this is applying to our lives now, no matter how much we have done in our Christian lives, there still remains much to do. While there is still much to do, there can be no satisfaction with a partial inheritance, now can there? God wants us to keep pressing on. the land that was to Israel should be how Jesus is to us. We are to possess all of him and keep pressing on until we have all of Jesus. And that seems to me that's like a lifelong process, right? So the question is how much of Jesus do we have in our lives? How much of the Bible do we possess and claim as ours? Do we walk in the blessing of leading others to Jesus Christ or answered prayer or meeting the needs of God's people? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves, because what it was to Israel, Jesus should be first and foremost to our in our lives. Okay, now right here we can see where he had divided the land, and we can see where the see the line down the middle? That was the route of the 12 spies, and you guys remember the 12 spies, right? Right? And Caleb was part of that, right? But it's all these years later, right? Okay, so you can go to the next slide, please. Okay. Caleb came to Joshua. Caleb said, Moses promised me the mountain because I obeyed the Lord fully. So Joshua gave Hebron to Caleb. The promise had been passed down through many generations. Now the people possessed all of the promised land. When the Lord told the Israelites to divide the land, Caleb had a special request of Joshua. Caleb was an old man at this time, but he still remembered 45 years before when he was one of the 12 spies who had spied out Canaan, because Caleb had the faith that God would help Israel conquer the land, even though the enemies seemed like giants. Moses had promised him the land. Although he was old, Caleb still believed that the Lord could help him fight the enemy. The Lord told Joshua to give the land of Hebron to Caleb, and Caleb did indeed overtake the enemy and occupy Hebron with the Lord, right? And then when we look at some of the promises and see, he was going on a promise that was given him. Now, what are the promises that are given us in the Bible? We look at Jeremiah 29:11, and it's, for I know the plans I have of you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not of evil, to give you hope in a future. Matthew 11:28-19. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then if we look at Romans 8:37-39, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing at all in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, we can go on to the next slide. Okay, these are the tribes, and as we had seen too, and on the next map you'll see, and these are the meanings, these are the names. Reuben, behold a son. And I think this is pretty interesting how they all got their names, and it all meant something. Simeon, God has heard. Levi, joined in harmony. Judah, praise. Dan, judgment. What's his name? Napolitan, oh, whatever. My struggle, my strife. Gad, fortune, luck. And Asher, happy, blessed. You can go on to the next slide, Jessica. Okay, so right here, I'm going to sum it up. I'm going to go through the borders and providence of Judah. And as we could see, all the land right there with all their names on it, it's pretty interesting, because that's the promised land right there. All that we're looking at is what was promised, right? The borders and providence of Judah. So this is with a lot of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families. The border of Edom at the wilderness of Zin southward was the extreme southern boundary. And their southern border began at the shore of the Salt Sea from the bay that faces southward. Then it went out to the southern side of ascent of acronym passed along to Zinn, ascended on the south side of Kadesh Barnea, passed along to Hezron, went up to Adar, and went around to Qatar. From there, it passed through Amazon and went to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your southern border. The eastern border was the Salt Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan, and the border on the northern quarter began at the bay of the sea at the mouth of Jordan. The border went up to Beth Hoglad and passed north of Beth Arabat, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. Then the border went up towards Debar from the valley of Achor, and it turned northwards towards Gilgal, which is before the accent of Adamian. I don't know if I said that correctly, but which is on the south side of the valley. The border continued towards the waters of Enshemesh and ended up in Erogo. And the border went up the valley of the son of Himeon of the southern slope by Jebusite city, and which is called Jerusalem. The border went up to the top of the mountain that lies at the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of Repnet northward. Then the border went up around the top of the hill to the fountain of the water of Netopal and extended to the cities of Mount Ephron, and the border went around to, oh my goodness, which is Bala. Then the border turned westward from Bala to Mount Seir, passed along the side of Mount Jerim to the north, went down to Beth Shemesh and passed on to Timnath, and the border went out the side of Ekron northward. Then the border went around to Shircham, passed along to Mount Bala, and extended to Jebanah, and the border ended at the sea. The west border was the coastline of the great sea. This is the boundary of the children of Judah all around according to their families. Okay, and Joshua 16. Joseph's land was from the Jordan to the sea. Ephraim's territory was Manasseh. Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites. In Joshua 17. There was a lot for Mashur, the firstborn of Manasseh, and a lot for the rest of Manasseh. Manasseh did not drive out the Canaanites. Joshua sent surveyors from the remaining tribes and then divided the land. Benjamin Lot was from Kerjamin to the Salt Sea. And Simon's lot was within Judah's. And there were lots for Zebium, Ishkar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. The Israelites gave Joshua a city. Okay, so I want to mention, we've seen, if you look at the slide before, all the promised land. And this is what they possess today. Look at all that. This is all promised. That's what God's promised. And the conflict that's in the Middle East. And there's a reason why. There's very good reason. I don't know if anybody here has read this book, but it goes with the study today. And if I would have had more time with this, but I just got this on Wednesday night, I would have been able to. I just finished this book. I recommend you buy the book and read it. It's called On the Mountain of the Lord, and it's by Ray Bentley. And it's an excellent book. And everything about the land. This is a fiction book. It's sort of a love story, but I got to tell you, it's what's happening in the Middle East today in Israel. And the battle over the land, and why is this so important to the Jews? You know, and like there's this one mountain where Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Okay, right? If we were to travel there, the Islam people, we would be able to go up there and visit, right? To go check it out and everything. But Jews are not allowed. They don't want that land. They just don't want the Jews to have that land. because these lands were promised to them and they're very, very special and sacred places to the Jews. So I recommend buy the book, read it. And like I said, it's a really awesome story, you know, and it's the kind of book that it keeps you, it keeps you, it keeps you. But it's really what's happening in the Middle East today. Okay. And is there any more slides, Jessica?
I have a question about that, though.
Yeah.
Do they also have the water there, or is it just it had the red line go across, like part of the water? Was that water there also?
Well, it was just showing the path. That was the path. That's the path that the spies had taken.
Oh, the water too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just the path that they had taken.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why we learn about, you know, Caleb, I mean, 45 years later, right? He had that faith. And what was interesting to me is that Caleb, as an old man, took that land, right? So they had to go in there and they had to take that land. And we've seen in these chapters right here where it commented, not all of them were able to conquer the land, were they? So what did they do? They have to live with them side by side, right? And so that's it today. And then right there, the West Bank, there is a lot. There is a lot, a lot. A big battle over that. But, it, you know, it's all spiritual, you know? I mean, and then that's where it's set in that valley where the second coming of Christ is going to take place. And, you know, it, and that's why it's so sacred. And who? It's called, what is the name of it? Yeah, and it's there's a name for it. It's the Valley of... Yes, and... Yeah, it's in Jerusalem. Yes. It is... Where was it? It is right under our feet. Oh, okay. The Kidron, yes. Yes, and then it's also called the Valley of Josaphat. Josaphat, yeah. And you know what's interesting? Reading this book, you learn back in those days, it's like when, back in these days when empires were captured, they weren't destroyed, they just buried, they just built right over them. That's why they've been able to find in these archaeologists, these guys that go in there and they dig, they're able to find all these artifacts because they just buried right over, I mean, they just built right on top of them. That was kind of interesting to me. Yeah. So the mountain of the Lord, interesting stuff. And it will explain, give you a bigger picture of all this and what's really going on. So we said it was going to be a short night. So it is. Kim just wanted the PowerPoint presented, get an idea of how the land was divided, you know, amongst them. But it's pretty interesting. Look at how small Israel is. Look at all these nations surrounding. They're all enemies. And there you got little tiny Israel right there.
And it's always in the news.
It's always in the news. Yeah, absolutely. This book right here, is, like I said, it's awesome. It's an awesome book to read. And it really gives you a big picture of everything that's going on there. And it's just all so spiritual, you know, and they're trying to stop the Jews, and there's no stopping. There's no stopping God, you know? But that's the enemy, yeah. So that's all we got tonight, sisters. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord. Thank you for these faithful sisters, Lord. And just thank you for all your promises, Lord. And just keep us, Lord, and as we go into this weekend, Lord, tomorrow, we just, as we prepare for Saturate for San Diego, and Sunday, we celebrate the day that you've risen, Lord. You conquered the grave. Let us not forget that, Lord, and just let us be that light to the world, Lord. When we see the world, Lord, we need to be looking at them eye to eye, Lord, because that's who we are. We have nothing to hide. We have been set free. We have been redeemed, Jesus. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for being the awesome God you are. Thank you for showing us how to love one another, Lord, how to come alongside of each other and just stand, Lord, together. It's been awesome. You're awesome. And just thank you. We're very honored. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.